Simon Kuf Nun Gimel Sif Yud Ches, and hopefully we'll be able to finish the Simon. Sif Yud Ches, bottom of page 78, literally the last word. Yesh Misha Oymer, some say. Sheklei Hekdash Kelim, such as the candles for shul or mantlach or the crown of the Sefer Torah, all those items which are klei hekdesh. Shenoag ulav yom tomid lepnes haknesses. We're talking about kelim which belong to personally one owner. It's a personal belonging of one individual, but he brings it for every single yom tov. He brings it to shul. So sheklei hekdesh shel kesef, silver klei hekdesh. Shenoag ulav yom, which he tends to bring tomid lepnes haknesses bechagim. Every single yom tov, he brings it to shul. Ein yicholim lehoitzi lechulin velemochom. The owner cannot take it out of chulin levelemochom to sell it. Yes, it's true, it is. Yes, it's true, it's his own personal belonging. Yes, it's true, he never actually physically donated it to shul. Nevertheless, he cannot be moitzi, he cannot take it out for chulin velemochom and just to sell it and keep the money and do whatever he wants with it. He can't do that. Rather, the community is able to grab it. It should be kept in the shul's possessions, as it were. Even after the owner, well, the ex-owner really, is nifter. So we're learning that the klei hekdesh, which was never intended to be fully donated to the shul, but since he brought it every single Yom Tov after his Nifta, Shul can grab it. Let us see more on this in the Mishnah Berurah. Seif Kotten Yud Ches, Shanoa Gula Aviyom, Kigoy Menoyrois, such as candles, lamps, lights, Lahadlik Bohem, to light the Shul, Oy, alternative Tachshitim, jewelry, Litlois, Ala Seifer, to hang on a Seifer Tov, such as the Yad or the Kesa, Seif Kotten Tzadik, Hey, Ein Yecholim, they're unable. Kevin Shaloi, Perishu Behedyam, since the owners were not, did not stipulate it clearly. The noise team says that they are giving this rak b'toyra she'ele ba'alma. They never stipulated. The owners never said, I keep the rights. This is still mine. I'm just lending it to the shul. He never actually physically said that. Therefore, mishenishtamshu bohem, since they were used in shul, chal alei ha'kdusha, the kdusha is chal on it. So we're learning what's very important in this Mishnah Berurah is that since it didn't stipulate it, therefore the Kedusha is Chal. So what does that imply? It certainly does imply that if he actually stipulated clearly, absolutely black and white, he made a complete Tnai Kodim L'maisa, and he said, this remains within my ownership, and I am clearly making 100% sure and certain this remains completely mine, that would actually work. It's only because Shaloi Pirishu Behedya, he didn't actually physically stipulate it. That's why this Shulchan Aruch is relevant. Very important point. And then he continues Mishnah Berurah with the following Magen Avraham. The custom of Magen Avraham, the Achshav nowadays, Haminik Poshut, the Minig is. The minig is poshut shenish orim b'rishus ba'alei. Actually, now says the Magen Avraham, things have changed, and the minig is now that it all remains within the ownership of the baal. This shulchan aruch is not relevant anymore, says the Magen Avraham. Everything remains within the ownership of the owners. V'im kein, and therefore ha'mevim is akelim, people who bring the kelim to shul, mevim adait the minhag, they bring it on the either consciously or subconsciously, they're relying on the minik, that it's as if they actually physically stipulated. If somebody brings items to shul, then it's not anymore completely just given over to the shul and it's theirs and the kedusha is chal. It's nowadays, it's as if they physically stipulated. Nowadays, the minik is you don't fully give the rights to the shul. There's a minik already. There's a minik that people retain their rights. And even if he's not aware of it, he's an amoret and he's not aware of it, he just wants to give it to the shul. Nevertheless, it's done on the understanding that he retains the rights and it's not fully passed on to the shul. Nevertheless, it is far better to make a clear condition, b'shas hava, when you bring it to the shul, shurak b'toyas she'elo ba'almet, that you're only lending it to shul. So better safe than sorry. Make it clear. Put it maybe even in writing, and make him potentially even a written document, and make it at the very least just speak it out. This is a she'elo ba'alma. I retain the rights. I don't remove my ownership of these kelim, and I'm passing it on as a she'elo, I'm only lending it to the shul. It remains a borrowed item. It's still mine. And then if he is nifta, then certainly the shul cannot grab it because it's not theirs. There is an interesting Chalkas Yankov. Chalkas Yankov was a postik in Zurich, in Switzerland, after the war, one of the very great postkim, great postkim after the war. And the Chalkas Yankov claims that nowadays the minhag has changed again. So the Mogen Avraham may have been the understanding in the minhag in the times of the Mogen Avraham. A few centuries have gone since the Mogen Avraham's times. And Chalkas Yankov claims that nowadays, when a person passes on an item to the shul, he actually does remove full rights, and he does completely donate it to the shul, and he doesn't keep it at all anymore. He said that is nowadays the minhag, and that's the general understanding nowadays. If somebody doesn't stipulate anything, he's not relying on the minhag, as the Mogen Avraham puts it. So, of course, if he specifically says it, and it's completely clearly spelt out, then certainly he can keep the rights. The question is, if nothing is said clearly, what is the minhag? What is the general understanding? Mogen Avraham says, quoted in Mishneh Berurah, the Mogen Avraham says that he keeps the rights, it's still his, and the Mishneh Berurah, and that's the Mishneh Berurah's opinion. However, the Chalkas Yankov claims that no, nowadays it's fully donated back in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, and the din of the Shulchan Aruch is relevant again. So this is an interesting shaila. So halach lemaisa, in order to avoid any problems, we can only go back to the Mishneh Berurah's hachra and etza to make sure to put something, maybe even in to put something very clearly down, and maybe even in writing. Okay. See if you test. Yesh misha oima. Some say sheim nimtza acha misas adam. If a person was nifta, sheim nimtza acha misas adam ksav, and it was found amongst his papers, amongst the documents, a certain paper was found, and on that paper it says Kosuf shehikdish kelim. It says there that he donated to the shul some kelim, maybe even silver kelim, were donated to the shul. It's not something that we've got evidence beyond that document that was found. Nothing else. No edim. Nothing. Ve'enol of edim. There's no edim. No witnesses to confirm this. And he never actually physically passed it on to the shul. They're unaware of it. Nevertheless, have hekdesh, it's hekdesh. Person who is nifta, one document was found. And another document, it says that he's passing on some kelim to the shul. It becomes hekdesh. It becomes part of the shul's authority, and it becomes the shul's, it becomes hekdesh. Although there's no edim and there's no further evidence to this. Siv Kotnan, Tzadik Chesem Mishneh Berurah, Shoyo Shel Avos, Siv Kotnan, Tzadik Vav, Sheim Nimtza Roitzolem, Sheim Nimtza Beveisoy, the document was found, Bein Shteroysov, amongst his documents. Sivkotten Tzadik Zayin, Have Hektish, it becomes Hektish. The Vada Yigdisho certainly was Makdish it. Yes, he did give it on. Kevin Shekosav Loyal Amigile, since it's written on a formal document, you can assume and rely on the fact that it's correct, and yes, he did donate it to the shul. Seif Chof. Yesh Misha Oima, some say, She Sefer Torah, He Sefer Torah Shehuchzok, which there's a chazoka, Shoyo Shel Avosov, which belongs to his forefathers, Shel Reuven of Reuven, Ein HaTzibur Yecholim Lahachzik Boi, the Tzibur cannot hold on to it. They cannot grab it. It's not the shul's. So this is, of course, a very important shaila, which is basically, imagine there's a person who is donating a Sefer Torah, so he's fulfilling mitzvahs k'siva Sefer Torah by paying a sofer to write the Sefer Torah. And yes, Sefer Torah has been written, and then obviously hachnos the Sefer Torah, goes to simcha, and the Sefer Torah is being brought to shul. Right, and now what? Who, and the Sefer Torah is using it now. But whose is the Sefer Torah now? Who does it belong to? Is it the shul's? Well, it was brought to the shul. It was hachnos Sefer Torah. They're using it now. Or is it still the owner's? Whose is it? So the truth is that really, mitzvah Sefer Torah does not stop by the writing of the Sefer Torah. That's really when the mitzvah, to some extent at least, really starts. The Sefer Torah, to enable Yidden to use the Sefer Torah. Mitzvah Sefer Torah, there's no point of just having written a Sefer Torah and then it gathers and collects dust in a corner. That's not the idea. Obviously, the whole idea of Mitzvah Sefer Torah is that this Sefer Torah should be used. Yidden should learn from the Sefer Torah. He should be used publicly. That's the whole idea of Mitzvah Sefer Torah. So certainly, if you want to fully fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, he don't just fully donate it to the shul, because when you've fully donated it to the shul and you have passed it on, then you've actually missed the golden opportunity of mitzvah. It's in a way a waste because it's not yours anymore. Now, when it comes to the real fulfillment of the mitzvah, it's not in your hands anymore. So the question is, but on the other hand, it was actually passed on. So let us shed clarity in this. The Shulchan Aruch says, Sefer Torah belonged to somebody, and is nifta. So the question is, the Yerushim now, is it the Yerushim Sefer Torah, or is it the Shul Sefer Torah? Can the Shul now just keep it on? If the Yerushim live elsewhere, they want to take it on. Or is it the Shul's? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein ha-tzibu yechoyim lachzik, but the tzibu, the community cannot hold on to it. It's not the Shul's. Mishnebura, Sef Kotten, Tzadik Ches. Shehoyo shel avoysov, umunachas beis haknesses. It's even if the Sefer Torah was placed and kept in shul. Ein ha-tzibu, Sef Kotten, Tzadik Ches, yecholin. V'loy amrinon, and we do not say, the bevadai yichlito lehekdesh. We do not say that certainly it was given for hekdesh to the shul. V'loy domi leklei hakodesh shel kesef, and it is not comparable to the klei hakodesh of silver, shenoagu l'avion leveis haknesses, which are brought to the shul, amuvu b'seif ches, that we discussed in Seif Yud Ches. De'ein ha'baylim l'chon yotzi l'chonum, that over there we learned, that Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that it's, that the baalim, the owners, cannot be moitzin lecholin. It's not similar to Seif Yud Ches. There we learned, yes, there's a Mogen Avraham, and a Chalkas Yankov, etc. But over there we learned that the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that it's not that the shul has got they can hold on to it, and the owners cannot be moitzin lecholin. So over here it's different. The shiny hacha b'Sefer Torah, here it's different. Sefer Torah is different. There is a very strong an important distinction between a Sefer Torah and silverware. So shiny hochi b'Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah is different. Sheken aderech lasu Sefer Torah menas ken lanicho b'veis haknesses shiku b'rabim. Sefer Torah, the meaning is to write a Sefer Torah to be placed in a shul that Yidden should learn from it. V'shitie munachas sham, and it should be kept in shul ad yom p'koy da balim oiso, until the balim, the owner, decide one day likach lebeis to take into his house. So, by a Sefer Torah, everybody agrees that, and even the Shulchan Aruch agrees, that it's donated al menas. It does not belong to the shul. A Sefer Torah doesn't remove all the rights of a Sefer Torah. It remains his, even though it's actually lying and being kept in shul. Even if it's the mantle, and even if it's got mantle, which was paid and commissioned, and it's the shul's mantle, and the kesa and the yad, everything belongs to the shul and not to that individual. Velohikpin, he didn't mind the fact that they were adorning the Sefer Torah with items which was not his, they were the shul's. We don't say just because they put a mantle, a kehle mantle on it, or a crown on it, which wasn't his. We don't say that, oh, look, he saw that this was, they used it for turning shul, and they put a different crown on, they used a different yad on it, so obviously he doesn't care, it's not his anymore, he fully donated it to shul. No, we don't say that. He just, he didn't mind. Mishum tekein aminik todi el hachlif amelim b'sefer Torah. El Sefer Torah. He said, oh, that's many guests to change the meilin. Henshel yichidim henshel kol. These things change. Sometimes you change the meil, you change the mantle, you change it, and it's, they're allowed to do that, and he didn't mind. But that doesn't mean that he fully donated it to the shul. He didn't. It's still his Sefer Torah. Mishnah will discuss a little bit more that started on this, but Halacha Lemaisa Paskens very much like that. I'm reading the last few words of this Sifkot and Sadi test. Mikol Mokom Lechatchila Bevat Etov Lehasnis Behedish Einosim Lechalutin. Even here, it's also better because there's a bit of a discussion between this and Sifkot Ches, and therefore better to be absolutely clear and just make a written tznai. That's the minute. That's the minute to make a written tznai with the shul and to stipulate clearly and to make an absolute clear written document that the Sefer Torah is not given as a gift and as a donation to the shul, rather it's still his personal private possession which is borrowed to the shul. And although the Achnos Sefer Torah is a great simcha and of course it's a huge mitzvah, but it does not mean that it was fully donated to the shul, rather it was they enabled the shul to use it. And that is the minik. But even if it was not done, if for some reason they didn't do this, it will still remain. Even if they didn't do this written contract and didn't actually stipulate it clearly, but the evet, we paskin that it is still his, and the shul cannot grab it away from him. Sif Chof Aleph. Ein liknois meilin shenishtam meish bohem hedyet letashmish kedusha. Ein liknois meilin, what is not meant to buy meilin mantlech shenishtamish bohem hedyet, that it was used for profane, for non-hektish purpose, any material, any shmatas which was used for private, personal purpose, you cannot use those to buy those and use them and make letashmish kedusha and make tashmish kedusha out of this. So don't use secondhand material which was used for clothing or for any other purpose, and don't make that into tashmish kedusha, into mantle of a shul. It's disrespectful. Sif cotton kuf base hedyet. If something was used for avodas gilulim, if something was used for goish, it was used for non-Yiddish purpose, avodas gilulim, for religious purpose, then afilu b'dieved also, then it's totally mos. It's disrespectful, and you may not, under any circumstances, use it for hekdesh. V'tzorich lemachon, they need to be sold. V'lachso v'likno ischeres, and to buy something else instead. The more continues. Also lasois, when he's not allowed to, me'esnan zoyno, to do from an esnan zoyno, for the hay was used for a zoyno, for a putzo, you're not allowed to use that money. Oy mechir kelev, or mechir kelev, something which was used for mechir kelef, dovor shel mitzvah, you can't use that money for dovor shel mitzvah. So that esnan or the mechir kelef, you're not allowed to use that for a mitzvah purpose, kigoin such as beis hakneses, for the shul, or sefer Torah, or for the sefer Torah. For dafka me esnan atzma, only if it's from the esnan itself, from that money itself that was used for hiring her, aval im nosnu lo ma'ois pe esnan. But if money was used for the esnan, i.e. money was used to get an esnan, then mutlikno is ben dvar mitzvah. So if it's not directly used for the esnan, if it's something which is used to get an esnan, then that would be permitted to use. For a mikri zoyna, it's only considered the zoyna of isra erva, if she's an isra erva. Mishnah Berurah says also if it's an Issa Lav, Yeah, Chayvelavin also. Zonenochis as well. Avol Elu apnuyos akdeshois, but she was just a pnuyo. She makdishes dovo mutelekabel mehen. If you've got a pnuyo hakdeshois, a pnuy which was a putza, and she wants to donate something, that you one is allowed to be mekabel from that one can use for the shul. Obviously, the reason for this is, as the Mishnah Berurah says, Sifkot and Kuvdalet, Kumosha also told Avion Lemikdosh when he's back, the Torah asks us clearly to use Esnan Zoinon Mechir Kelev for the Beis HaMikdosh and for the Mizbeach, Shalem Alay Sovi, Esnan Zoinon Mechir Kelev and for Shaposuk in the Torah. You're not allowed to use that for Mizbeach and for the Beis HaMikdosh. Ki Toyavas Hashem Eloi Kecho, it's abomination, it's a Toeva. Mikol Mokam, nevertheless, Eno Lemid Rabbonin here. Since it's not Mamish the Beis HaMikdosh, it's not Mamish the Mizbeach, it's a Mikdash Me'at, but it's not the Beis HaMikdosh Mamish, so therefore it's Midrabanan only. So an example brought down in Sivkot and Kuv Zayin would be the following. He gave money for the Zoyno, who he changed for stones and the other items which can be used for the shul. So all those, if you're using that money to buy keli for the Beis HaKnesses, that's also, and obviously that's all included in the issa of Esnan Zoyno Mechir Kelev. Tzivchov Beis. Adam Shehu Rogil B'Shom Mitzvah. A person who is Rogil, he is accustomed to do a certain mitzvah. Kugoyin Glila. Such as Glila. That's his mitzvah. He does always Glila at a certain time. Doesn't have to be every Glila, but at a certain appointed times, he always does the Glila. It's his mitzvah. Ve'eru Oynes, and he's now an Oynes. He's unable to do it. Or Oyni, or he's become very poor, and he can't buy it anymore. He just doesn't do that mitzvah now anymore. V'nosna akol ha-mitzvah l'achein, the community gave the mitzvah to somebody else to do. V'ach kacheshi, and now he's got money again to purchase it. V'rotze achziru lo ha-mitzvah, and he wants to get the mitzvah back. So every single year, say for arguments, and for example, in Yom Kippur, always used to buy glila, and every single year did it for many years. And at one point now he was just unable to buy it anymore, it was too expensive, and they gave it to somebody else, and now he's got back the money again. He wants to buy it again, but now somebody else is doing it already. So, and he wants to get it back. So, in b'shal shenosna kol ha-mitzvah l'sheni, if, that depends. In b'shal shenosna kol ha-mitzvah l'sheni, when they gave it to the second person, hayo sipuk be'ad rishon losses, mashe hayo noisen b'chol shana, v'lo chofetz, but it depends. Was he really physically unable to buy it? Was he unable? If was, he was really able, but he didn't want. He showed a lack of interest for some reason. He didn't really want it anymore. Then, v'nisratzehu imshah kolosis l'ache, and he had agreed. He showed consent that he passed on to the second person. Ibe tzechus, he's lost his chus, and the second one can keep it, whatever happens. Because he has shown that he's not really, he's lost interest, so it's fine. So he can move on to the second person. But if when the second one was given and he really couldn't buy it, and he showed that he doesn't want, that he's unhappy about the second one getting it, and then now that he's got again the financial means to purchase it again. Now that it's in his hands again, he wants to have that mitzvah again, and to return velitain and to give mashahoy noisen. He wants to give what he always used to give, mashahoy noisen tchila, choizel mitzvosi, he can pass on again. So it all depends. Was it done because he really, really couldn't, and he's desperate and he's very keen to have the mitzvah again? So So he can go back to the food. He can go back to him. However, if he just he has lost a little bit of cheshek, lost a little bit of interest, and he could have really, really afforded it, but he just showed a bit of interest then, and he changed his mind now, and he suddenly does want it again, so it's too late. He goes back to the second one, can keep it for good. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Kuf Yud Beis Shehu Rogel. The mitzvah that we're referring to, it could be glila, or we're going to see soon, it's not just glila, but let's just talk about glila for a moment. It's not just if he actually, it's not just if he bought it. In fact, it's shehichzik bo b'rishus hakol. He grabbed a mitzvah, b'rishus hakol, with the content of the glila. And the tshuva is a radbaz kosav, da'afilu lo yeshu b'feirush, even if they never actually approved of him doing glila, every Yom Kippur. But that's what happened. Elokola shehichzik zman ra, v'shosku v'lo imichu. He's been doing for many years. He always went along by glila and he did it himself. On Yom Kippur. They never protest. They knew he does it. And fine, okay, shkoyach, weiter, next. So they didn't make a fuss about it. However, chazaka, it's a chazaka. So although he never actually got approval from the community, but it's a chazaka. It's a chazaka. So that's a strong enough chazaka. Even more so if he bought it, and even more so if it was done with a, you were mechabit him, even more so. But even in a case that he was machzik it, in a way, by force, he just... he just took it granted that it's his. Nevertheless, it's considered a chazaka. The Mishnah Berurah says it's not just talking about glila. The Mishnah Bialocha talks on the side about avalim kshenosna the sheni lav dafkin in glila. It's not just talking about glila. Who are din beechot sheish le chazaka shispala tzibur veisoi. Even if they, it's, we're talking about a complete different chazaka. Chazaka is that they're davening in his house. He always has that minion in his house. Now they can't daven in his house anymore. Say Motzei Shabbos Ma'ariv, and they daven for many years. They daven in his house. Now suddenly they can't anymore daven in his house because he's got some building works or whatever it may be. They can't anymore daven in his house. He's gone. They moved next door. If he was forced, it was a forced condition that he couldn't be, the minion couldn't be held in his house. Lo ibet cheskos, he didn't lose his chazaka. V'kshiyavra oynes, and when the oynes disappears, yispal yushom, they have to go back to his former place. V'chen kol yotze bazen, anything like that. So there is, we're learning over here, there's a real concept of chazaka. There's a real concept of chazaka that he can, even if it was not done, birshus, and even if it wasn't done bekibbut, but if he has if a certain mitzvah has the chazok of it, then he's got a real right of it. And unless it's an absolute, unless and therefore if there wasn't a real onus, temporarily it was removed, as soon as the onus goes away, he can claim the rights back of this mitzvah. There is an important mi'alocha later on that speaks about Yerusha b'mitzvahs, and he says that there's no Yerusha b'mitzvahs, which is important. For instance, that glida that we refer to, can he keep it on to, can the Yoshim keep on doing this glila? So the answer is that any Yerusha b'mitzvahs, and Yerusha cannot be, cannot assume that just because he's the son of somebody that he's going to have the same, he can continue this mitzvah. To recap what we learned in this shir, we spoke about Kleya Hekdesh, which are passed on to the shul, to the kol can claim that it's theirs. And he can't just sell it. If the individual who owns it can't just sell it on, because it belongs to the kol after his ptira. We learned that if a person dies and amongst his documents is found a document that he will makdish it, we assume that's the case and everything goes to the shul. We learned also sefer Torah which belongs to a certain family. The shul cannot assume that it's theirs, although they hosted the Sefer Torah for many years. They can't just assume it's theirs. Rather, than the assumption is that it's not fully donated, but it's a she'ela, and that's even if there was a but ideally, the Mishnah Berurah says one should still make it. We should stipulate it clearly that it's not donated fully to the shul. We learned about Esnan Zoyna and Mechir Kelev should not be used for Beis HaKnesses and Sefer Torah. And we learned that a person who has got a certain chazok of a mitzvah, then if he one year he's gone poor, was an onus or something, then if it was a real oynes and he didn't really want to give up the mitzvah, then he can, as soon as he's financially able again, the mitzvah should go back to him. And finally, we learned that if a person has got a schus in a mitzvah, then it's his mitzvah, and you can't just push him off, even if he had an oynes. We spoke about glile, we spoke about davening in his house, and we also mentioned that there's no Yerusha b'mitzvahs. That's today's Shir B'Siyata D'Shemaya.